Good morning.
Morning.
Happy Thursday.
Thank you.
We are glad again to be down here at the office. And the student who is speaking this morning, I was just preaching last night. The student speaking this morning is my senior in many ways, also in his experience with God. And so I'd like to introduce you to Daniel Baquero. And he has been a searcher for a long time. And he's going to share some of that with you this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I feel like I know you already for a long time. I don't know how many of you have been working in Amazing Facts for a long time, but if some of you have already prayed for me, you don't know it. I came to AFCO to go in 2007, but I've been before that involved in an indirect way with Amazing Facts. I've used your ministry to minister to others. So praise the Lord for being here with you this morning for this opportunity. And I'd like to share some of the results of others people's prayers in my life and share with you how the Lord has worked in my life. But just let me have a short word of prayer, please. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being here with us. Just may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
You know, seeing you gathered for worship, it's encouraging. I used to own a business in Miami where I lived most of my life here in the States. And one day the Lord told me, you need to gather your employees faithfully for worship in the morning. And we started doing that, and conversions started happening among the employees. Even though I never hired anyone that was not of a Christian background, but there were people that were in the church and they were not converted. So hope you never stop doing that. I remember talking with someone in Amazing Facts some years ago, and they told me, you have a prayer request? He said, sure, you like to pray with me for me? I said, sure. No, but not only that, we gather for worship every morning and we'll mention your name and your prayer request. I don't know if it was the same group, but anyways, I was born originally in Venezuela. I don't know, maybe some of you, and all of you know where that is in South America. I was raised in a Catholic, kind of nominal Catholic family. We would go to church maybe once a year or twice a year. But my mother, in her effort, she has divorced my dad, and in her effort to give us some religious instruction, she registered us in Catholic churches and Catholic schools. And I, because of that, I wanted to be, you know, an altar boy or a priest. I really wanted to dedicate my life to God. I started seeing that life had no sense, no purpose of just being like everybody else and you know, living for material things. It didn't make sense to me. So, but in the Catholic Church, I discovered that they were one thing, including the priest, because I saw him doing some things as we were taking the catechism class that really disappointed me. Said, no, God is not here. I mean, if he being the closest person to God is doing these things, what am I going to find here? But thanks God, you know, my mom took us in an opportunity because of an invitation of a friend to a Baptist church, and that's when I experienced my conversion. And I told the Lord, if you want my life, I give it to you. As I started studying the Word of God, the Bible, in Sunday school, I realized that there were those heroes of the Bible that were so close to God, and I wanted to be like one of them. And I started discovering that even in the Baptist church, where there were many sincere people, they were kind of living a double life, you know, like they looked so pious and so God-fearing on Sunday, but during the week, you know, I met some of them and they were different, you know. In Sunday they would greet you with a smile and, you know, and God bless you, but during the week they would ignore you. I mean, I was a child, but still it bothered me. You say, what happened? They only have love on Sunday, on Sundays, you know. But thanks God, you know, we finally immigrated here to the States. My dad used to be a secretary for the Venezuelan embassy in Washington, so he wanted us to come here, even though he was divorced from my mom. And we tried to come, but the day before we were coming to the States in 1972, we had a terrible car accident, and because of that, we never came. So always what is in the back of my mind, you know, trying to come and get to know the States. End up working as a missionary for an organization that travels around the world. And so I got to know over 32 different countries when I was a young man. But I still wanted to come and get to know the States. So finally in 1990... before that, I started working also as a flight attendant and coming here to the States and to many, many other countries. So I said, man, I need to come and get to know the States. But things got getting tougher. The type of business that I had in Venezuela, which was importing some electronic equipment from here and selling them and selling them there, that I said, probably, you know, I should open up a business like this in the States. And that's what I ended up doing in 1995, when I finally came. Even though I came since 1990, it was in 1995 when I finally moved. And in 1996, somebody invited me to the Adventist Church. It was a brother of mine on my father's side. And I told him, you're crazy. Don't you know they're a sect? Yeah, I have known of the Adventist Church and how they, you know, would tell you to keep the Sabbath and that they have a prophetess and, you know, and they say that's particular of a sect, you know. We're saved by grace. But, you know, he convinced me, just come and check out by yourself. So I did. And when I went to this the Miami Central Adventist Church in Miami, the biggest there, I said, man, these are sincere Christians. You know, they're teaching things from the Bible, you know, except when they mention the spirit of prophecy. But let me check that out, you know. I think I could help them. So, you know, I started studying. Lord, you need to teach me very clearly so I could teach them that we don't need to keep the Sabbath. We say by grace. So I started studying and praying and fasting, you know. And, of course, you know what happened. You know. I got rebaptized that year, and I say, oh, now I know why you brought me to the States, Lord. You brought me because I needed to know the truth. And it was so exciting. But this Ellen G. White thing, they're not going to convince me about that. But, of course, the Holy Spirit told me, just study. Study by yourself. So I started doing that. I said, man, what a blessing. That started changing my life. You know, this is what I want. You know, that desire that I had when I was a child, to serve the Lord, to be a real Christian, started growing up. You know, that verse that I had memorized many verses, but that one, Galatians 2:20, okay, of being crucified with Christ and no longer living I, but Christ living through me. I wanted to do that, but it was so frustrating finding out that, you know, the things that Paul experienced, that I was experiencing too, you know, that the good things that I wanted to do, I end up not doing, and the bad things that I didn't want to do, I end up doing. And, you know, and hurting those around me, including my sisters. You know, I grew up with five sisters. My father had divorced my mom. And so I wanted to be the man of the house, and I wanted to protect them. Of course, you know, I didn't like playing with dolls at home, you know. So, you know, I would go out, and they'd tell me, yeah, I'm, you know, these boys and young men, and you say, I'm going to get your sister, you know. And that, of course, that meant a fight, you know. But I didn't know how to fight, so I end up many times eating dirt, you know. And So, but I would go home. I say, listen, you girls are not going out. Say, how come? You know, we want to go out and play with our friends. Say, no, you're not going out. I was protecting them. And that, of course, meant fights at home also. So it really frustrated me, you know, that I wanted to do what was good and I couldn't, even in my family. I couldn't be a Christian. I couldn't be crucified with Christ. I end up doing the wrong things. I fought with my friends at outside and with my family at home. So because of that, I decided that it was not worth living. But the Lord saved me from that. And He reminded me when I became an Adventist, that desire that He Himself had placed in me, wanting to dedicate my life to serve Him full time, He reminded me, but in a different way, that He was going to be the one doing it in me, that I just needed to surrender. I just didn't know how. And I started studying the Spirit of Prophecy. I was so excited. But then I discovered within the Adventist Church that many of the things that we were teaching, we were not doing. And I asked the pastor, how come we teach this and we don't do it? You know, how come we're not teaching the Spirit of Prophecy much in the church? This is so good, you know. And for example, these things, you know, they look at our elderly, you know, they're all suffering from disease, but it's so plain here in the Word and in the Spirit of Prophecy and in the Word of God that we need to take care of our temples. How come we're not teaching that? Because I'm sure you're vegan, right? He said, no. He said, oh, okay. I understand why it's not being taught then. I thought within me, it's because He Himself is not practicing it. So, you know, all these things were not of discouragement, but of encouragement. He said, we need to do better. And I was so happy the Lord brought me to the Adventist Church to learn this truth, and I really wanted to be that missionary that I have offered. You know, if others do not do it, I do want to serve the Lord full time. And I told my wife, you know, listen, you know, we see how our children are not really growing godly. You know, when I first came to the state, it was New York, and I said, this is not a city where I want to raise my children. So we ended up in Miami, but Miami was getting worse and worse. And I say, listen, we need to get out of the cities. And I'm not getting out of the city. You know, we were doing well. We were not wealthy, but we had plenty. You know, we had 5 cars and we had a big house, you know, with swimming pool and a business. The Lord was blessing us. He gave us many opportunities of businesses just because of saving those souls, you know. Of course, you work in a ministry like this, and you practically all what you're doing is related to reaching those that are out there. I was doing a more secular type of business, but the reason of that business was to reach those out there, and the Lord just make us go to all type of levels of society. And you know, we were in houses like you could not imagine the luxury and wealth in those houses, you know, packs of money, you know, safety boxes, jewels everywhere. Of course, they would not allow you in a house like that if they would not trust you. Not only people from any religions, you know, or not religions at all, but Jews. And the Lord blessed us so much that my wife told me, listen, we are not leaving Miami. You know, we're not living the comfort. Where are we going to go? We don't have a place anywhere to go. But the Lord spoke to us clearly that He wanted us to raise, especially because we started studying a home, the Adventist home, or the Christian home book. And I saw that my family was not doing very well spiritually. Even though, you know, I was so busy with the business, was so busy doing what I thought I was doing, that I should be doing, that I was not doing what I first should be doing, which was training my family to love God. And I made a commitment. I said, Lord, I messed it up. You know, my oldest son, who was about to probably junior high, you know, I saw in his spiritual life that he was not really loving the Lord with all his heart, but the way he's taking the AFCO training with me. Yeah. And I said, Lord, you need to help me do something. And I made a prayer that started making changes in our lives. I said, Lord, I give you permission. And that was based on meditating and studying on Abraham. You know, how he was willing after so many years waiting for a son, that promised son. And then the Lord told him, you know, I want your son to, I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice to me. And he said, I haven't done that. I haven't surrendered my son or my wife or everything. Yeah, I want them to be his, but I haven't done that as an act of total surrender. So I say, okay, Lord, I give you permission to do whatever you have to do. Show me whatever I have to do. So you will be the Lord of my life, my wife, my children, my business. You will be the owner of everything. I give you permission to bring whatever you deem best. And amazing things started happening. Some of those very painful. But the Lord made it clear to my children, my wife and I, that we needed to stop pursuing money or comfort or the American dream, but pursue the heavenly dream of reaching as many we could for Christ and in the process get saved ourselves. We got in contact with an institution, Wildwood Lifestyle Center and Hospital, and the Lord told us, okay, you could come here and train. It was clear for us. But my wife didn't want to leave the comfort, and it was hard for me also, you know, thinking of leaving the business and how are we going to live and all that, and deciding to trust the Lord. But I know He was going to make a way. So in August of 2009, we went to ASI, and there were so many laborers needed everywhere. I said, Lord, where do you want us to go? And He confirmed that I wanted to first get trained to become a medical missionary. And He told the same to my son and my wife and my two little ones. But how it was going to happen, I don't know. But I mentioned to my wife, he said, didn't you, because the Lord told me, He had told her and them, do you hear the Lord's voice? Say, yes, I know it's clear, but I'm afraid that when I go back to Miami, I won't want to leave the comfort and all that. And yes, in August of 2009, she told me, say, listen, I'm sorry, but if you want a divorce, you know, just get a divorce, but I'm not moving. And if you want to go, go. I'd rather die, but I'm not going to leave my home. I'm not going to leave. This is crazy. You're crazy. But say, the Lord talked to us. You know, you heard it. But he said, no, but it's okay. I just don't want to do it. And, you know, when we were going back from ASI, we had an accident where we could see clearly the hand of the Lord. You know, we drove all the way from Miami to Phoenix, Arizona, and back, and I decided to, you know, to rest a little bit. We were already in Florida. We were in a mile 300. We were only 200 and something miles from Miami. I said, you want to help me drive? And as soon as she took the wheel, you know, a few minutes down the I-75, we were in an accident that if the Lord didn't, the car was total loss. Before that, she had been in another accident. After that, she had been in another almost fatal accident. I get a suit from the county. Say, you owe us a big amount of money because you haven't paid your tax. Another one from the IRS. I said, this is crazy. I started praying, Lord, you know, I always do things right. And the Lord told me, share with your wife. So I share with my wife. I said, look, you see, the Lord is telling us, you know, working for money, you know, that house we haven't, even though we had only 10 more years to pay it, it doesn't belong to us if we don't finish paying it. You know, we've been working for so many years. Nothing belongs to us. What American dream we live in, you know. Look at the government. They want to sue us, you know, because they made a mistake. So it's not worth it. Let's work for the Lord. Let's serve saving souls. And I showed it to her, but she declined. And of course, you know, the Lord provided the money. You know, we paid everything. And it was their mistakes. But, you know, who fights against the government? They always win. So we paid. And, but it was clear. We needed to move. But she got very sick. And she ended up dying at the beginning of October. This was 3 years now. October 12th. And my children told me that, well, there's nothing is holding us now. Let's go. Let's go on and get prepared to serve the Lord. He was 7, who is now 10, and she was 9, who is now 12. And they told me, let's go. And 2 days later, my son, my oldest son, told me that. I know the Lord told me that he wanted me to be prepared, to get prepared to serve him full time, and I want to do just that. And so we went to Wildwood, and we were there for the last 3 years until a few months ago. The Lord told me, remember what I told you when you went to Africa to go, that I wanted to do the full training? And I always declined, because I always postponed because of business issues. Now is the time. And I was very involved in the ministry there, and we had studied a Spanish training school on medical missionary. We studied a Spanish church also that was not there. We were leading different departments, but the Lord told us, you need to go to Africa. And the leader said, oh man, you're going to leave us like that? I said, if it's the Lord, he'll provide. And the Lord provided, you know, he provided everything. So here we are. But, you know, that verse of being totally crucified, totally dead, the Lord brought it back and back and back again in our lives. Because when he's the one who lives through you, those things that seem that now seem that we are the ones who can accomplish them is when they really come through. And I didn't understand that. And I'm still trying to grasp the broadness of it. I'm still learning, you know, that we need to surrender. And he keeps on showing me. I keep on telling, Lord, what another area of my life I haven't surrendered? Real quick, I was mugged some years ago, many years ago. And when I asked, Lord, show me, is there anything in my life that still does not belong to you? Any portion of my heart? And he brings dreams or memories, things that I didn't remember from my childhood. But in this occasion, I was praying. I had prayed 2 days ago, you know, and the memory of these two guys assaulting me, you know, robbing me, you know, came to memory. And I would dwell on the thought, and I would get mad and say, man, I could have done this, I could have done that. And they say, oh Lord, trying to check the thoughts off. What am I thinking? I'm sorry, Lord. You know, I shouldn't be getting angry. And he said, Lord, please take away these thoughts, you know. And then it would come again in another time of prayer, and it would come again. And they say, oh, now understand. I asked you to show me. I had not forgiven these guys. You know, I had not surrendered that area of my life. You know, I was still angry at them. What do I do, Lord? How do I forgive them? I forgive them. You know, I told him, I forgive them. He said, and then he reminded me, Job. You know, remember when Job started praying with his friends? So I started praying for this guy, Lord, you know, I don't know where they are, but please save them. Please, Lord, I don't know if they have families now, if they're alive, but I forgive them. Please forgive them too. You know, don't hold that sin against them. I ask you in the name of Jesus, by the blood that he shed on his cross, forgive them. Bless them, Lord. You know, it would be so nice to see them in heaven. You know, and like that, I could experience forgiveness, you know, for those that hurt me. And like that, it's happened many times. But when we're willing to surrender, you know, every aspect of our lives, He keeps on showing us. And every day I realize that I still need so much to go. But I'm so glad that He is in the business of restoring us, you know, when we surrender. And I'm sure that you may have issues that probably the Holy Spirit may have brought to you this morning. You know, things that probably you have not thought of. Or probably that you haven't prayed that, Lord, do whatever is necessary to bring me to the altar. Where I would place myself on the altar, or place my wife, my children, my job, my whatever it may be. Or you haven't prayed that prayer and said, Lord, is there anything that's still holding inside my heart? Anything that does not belong to you. You know, the Holy Spirit may have brought something to memory. If it is so, isn't that nice? We can still pray together. Not only for one another, but tell the Lord, you know, from now on, I give you permission. So shall we end up with a prayer? Will you join me in prayer, please? Dear Father, you are so good to us. You have always been, even when we have ignored you. You are so merciful, so kind, so loving. Oh, we love you, Lord. We couldn't see our lives without you. But we know we hurt you. We hurt you in our pride, with our selfishness, with our self-righteousness. Forgive us, Lord, and thank you for blessing us this morning. Thank you for reminding us that we need you. We need you to live. We need you to be really alive. And we need you to help us die so you can live through us. Lord, you hear in each prayer, each heart that is in communion with you right now in this room. Bless them according to their faith. Bless us, O Lord, that we'll be like your Son and we'll be among the 144,000 that will be ready for these perilous times that are just ahead, these dangerous times that are just around the corner. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for forgiving us. And thank you for answering. In Jesus' name, amen.